Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Vav. We're holding on daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amid Beis, about 5 lines from the end of the page. Tanya Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Omer. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored the Zchus for Shlema for Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. And it's also sponsored by Beirish Sober in honor of all those who made Aliyah to Eretz HaKadosha and continue to follow the daily Daf Shir. So we are holding on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. And the Gemara is about to discuss the Chashash Nefel and doing Mila on someone who might have a Chashash Nefel. Meaning, at what point do we assume that the baby may not be a Ben Kayama, that it might be a Nefel, and when do we or do we not do Mila, both in general and on Shabbos? And then the Gemara is going to discuss, does everyone agree that we're Choshesh, that every animal is a Trefa, or do we assume that that we don't have to make such a Chashash? I'm going to have 3 rayas. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel certainly holds its way that a Stam Behema, not a Trefa, that is a Nefel, that a Stam Behema is a Nefel, and we're going to have 3 rayas whether everyone agrees to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Then the Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas, once we establish that it's not, that there is someone that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, explain the Machlokas, whether we are Choshesh for a Nefel, and we're going to tell a couple of stories relating to that. And then the Gemara is going to discuss how a baby who dies exempts from Yibum, exempts the mother from acquiring Yibum, but only if the baby was a Ben Kayama. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to have the Sugya of Androgynous. As far as Mila is concerned, and as far as Arachin is concerned, whether an Androgynous is considered like a male or a female or neither, and as far as Kiddush Mechados is concerned, the ability of an androgynous to Mekadish Mechados, to prepare the waters for the Para Adu, that from the Para Adum procedure for Tara from Tumas Mei. So let's begin, 5 lines from the bottom of the page, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amud Bey. So we had said that a baby that's born during the 8th month of pregnancy is considered a Nefel and is not going to be able to live, and therefore you cannot do a Mila Bishabbos. So the Gemara discusses how we can never be koveya that a baby is not a Nefel, and that he should therefore ever get a Mila on Shabbos. Tanya Mshumli Alomer, Kol Shashah Shloshim Yom Ba'adam, Eino Nefel. If a baby survives 30 days, then you know that baby was not a Nefel. That was a Ben Kayama. How do I know 30 days is the magic number? Shenemar, because the Pasuk tells us as far as Pidyon HaBen is concerned, Upiduyav mi ben chodesh tifteh. So from the fact that the Torah says to wait 30 days before doing Pidyon HaBen, it sounds like only when that amount of time passes can you be confident that he's not a Nefel, and therefore he's chayev in Pidyon. But prior to 30 days passing, we always have to be choshesh that he's a Nefel, and that's as far as a human being. Shmonas yamim bebehema, and it's 8 days when the Vlad is a behema. When you have a behema that's born, you assume that it's eino Nefel, that it's no longer going to be a Nefel, and therefore it's mutter ba'achila, therefore you're going to be allowed to eat it. A shenamar, how do I know that by a behema it's 8 days? Because when it talks about the age that an animal is ra'ui to be used for a karban, umayom hashmini v'hala yeratza the karban. So from the fact that the Torah says you got to wait till the animal is 8 days old, till it can be brought as a korban. Apparently, by an animal, we assume that once it reaches the 8th day of life, that's when we assume it's no longer going to be a Nefel. But by a human being, apparently, it's only if it survives 30 days that we assume it's no longer going to be a Nefel. The way that Ramban understands Rashi over here is that Rav Shmuel Gamliel is talking about a Vlad where we don't know if it was born in the 9th month or in the 8th month. But if you know for sure that it was born during the 8th month, then it's a Nefel even if it survives 30 days. Meaning, when do we use 30 days as the measuring stick to figure out is this baby a Nefel or not? That's if we're not sure how long the pregnancy actually lasted. But if the pregnancy only lasted into the 8th month, in 8 months, then you know that the baby is a Nefel even if it does survive for 30 days. And if the baby's born in the 9th month, you know it's not a Nefel even if it survives for less than 30 days. So the Ramban just asks on Rashi that it doesn't sound that way from the sugya in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Peyam and Beis. That over there, Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, even about someone who's born in the 8th month, that if it's Avru Alav Shloshim Yom, then you know that he's not in Nefel. It must be that it was a Ben Shiva, that it was really a 7-month pregnancy. It's just that the baby hung out for a little bit longer, Bimei Imo, inside of its mother. So that's what the Ramban asks on Rashi. But that's clearly the assumption the Gemara seems to be having over here, that a baby up until 30 days is going to be considered to be at least a Safek Nefel. If it was born in the 8th month of pregnancy, then we always have to be Choshesh, that baby is not Choshesh. If it was born in the 8th month of pregnancy, it sounds like from Rashi, we know Bevadai, that baby will not survive, and that's why we had all those halachos the other day about not being metaltel. It's like an Evan, you know, even it's like Muktzah on Shabbos. So the Chaznish writes in Yardei Simon Kuf Nun Dalet, Siv Katan Dalet, that there are people that make a mistake and think that if a baby is born before 9 months, he's a nefel and they're misya'ish from ever having a refuah for the baby. And he says, Zu ta'us, this is a big mistake. He says, if you see that the baby is developed, then the baby is a ben kayama, and you have to be mishtadel berfuoso, and you're mechal Shabbos for the refuah of such a baby. And many, many, many babies survive this way. What about the fact that the Gemara says not that way? He says, this has to be another example of nishtanu ativim. Just like the Rama writes in Ibn Ezra, Simon Kufnun Vav, that as far as Yoledes l'mekuta'in, the Gemara assumes that a 9-month pregnancy will never be shorter than 9 months, that it's never Yoledes l'mekuta'in, it will always fill the full 9 months. So that's clearly not true anymore. Very often you have pregnancies where the baby is born sometime during the 9th month. So the Rama writes, that's nishtanu ativim. Says the Chazanish, over here also, we have to assume nishtanu ativim, and we have to deal with the realities as they are. Rav Vazner thinks that it's not nishtanu ativim, it's just that medical science has improved. Meaning, it's not that the Teva hasn't, meaning we now have incubators. They didn't used to have an incubator. So we have something that's able to warm the baby and to keep the baby developing. Ki'ilu, the baby was still still inside of its mother. Well, however you want to explain it, meaning very clearly, the assumption is that the baby is very likely to survive now, Baruch Hashem, when the baby is born after 8 months of pregnancy. There's a discussion about Pidyon HaBen. Do you wait 30 days after it comes out of the incubator, or do you wait 30 days after it comes out of the mother? Meaning, how do you view an incubator? Do you view it as a continuation of the pregnancy? Because that's what it's trying to mimic. It's trying to mimic the experience of the baby developing inside the mother. Or do you view it as any other medical procedure, any other method that we have of therapy for someone who's ill? So that's a major discussion in the poskim. Nafkamina legabe avelus as well. If a baby survives for 30 days, then you're misabel on the baby. If it doesn't survive for 30 days, there's no din of avelus. So what if it survived for 30 days in an incubator? So major discussion among contemporary poskim. But anyway, so far what we've seen is the Brisa tells us that if you want to know that a human baby is not a nefel, 30 days. You want to know that an animal is not a nefel, 8 days. So frek the Gemara, but wait a second. Hello, Shaha, from Rav Shimon Gamliel, you could be medayik that if it didn't have 30 days of life or 8 days by a behema, sveikahava havi, then it's a suffix whether it's a ben kayama or if it's a nefel. So if that's the case, mimalechim alinale, how could we be mal on Shabbos, a baby that you don't know that was called lo chadash? I mean, the mila is always going to be on day 8. The mila is less than 30 days. But if every baby that has not yet survived 30 days, we have to be choshesh. Maybe the baby is a nefel. So how is it that we're allowed to do a mila on Shabbos? So, and the Torah tells us we do a mila on Shabbos. So apparently the stam vlad, we're not choshesh, is a nefel. So it's against Rav Shimon Gamliel. So it says, Amar Avad Barava, malino sami manavshach. No, we can give him a meal on Shabbos manavshach. Because im chayhu, if he's a real, full-fledged, living baby that is called lo chadashav, so shaper kamal, good, then the mitzvah of meal is docha Shabbos. V'im lav, and if he's not called lo chadashav, and he has a din like a mace, so cutting the arla is not considered to be making a chabura, it's mechatek babasar, who you're just cutting a piece of meat, meaning the baby's considered already dead. So to cut a piece of dead meat is not going to be considered a violation of chavala. The Chasam Sofer points out that you can't be matir because of Mila Shalom Makom Mitzvah is considered a kilkul, and it turns out that you're only being makalkal b'chabura, and maybe that's why you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, because there's no real mitzvah over here, because the baby's not a ben kayama. So maybe you would say it's makalkal. He says no, because Mila itself is a kilkul. It's just that the mitzitza that you do afterwards is considered to be a tikkun, because if you don't do the mitzitza, then the baby's going to be mistaken, and it's going to be a sakana for the baby. At least that's certainly what the Gemara used to assume. Now some of the Achronim point out, wait a second, by saying that it's Basar Mace, that makes it mutter to cut on Shabbos? You're allowed to take Basar Mace and cut it on Shabbos? If you take raw meat out of your refrigerator, are you, just right there, before you cut it, are you're allowed to even do that. You're not allowed to do that. It's mukta. You're not allowed to handle raw meat on Shabbos. So the Achron point out, yes, but that's only a din d'rabbanan. So Safek mitzvahs milah min haTorah will be dochek the Safek mitzvah, the Safek yisur mukta rather, mid d'rabbanan. So that's not going to be a major concern for us. The Chasam Sofer though raises in the tshuva another question from the Shagas Aryeh that he doesn't answer. He leaves as a tzaruch iyun. Shagas Aryeh points out that maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel was only talking about a bechar, where the Torah says you need to wait 30 days, because it's legabe pidyon ben that the Torah says you need to wait 30 days, that prior to that he's becheskas chai only based on a rove. So you can't be mechayiv someone to be poda, because ein holchin b'mamon achar harov, meaning when it comes to pidyon ben, you're going to say, look, if the baby hasn't yet survived 30 days, then don't do pidyon ben yet. Because it's only a rove, that rove babies are not in Nefel. So based on a rove alone, you're not going to be you're not going to allow him to do pidyon ben. But as far as mila, so what's the halacha if you have a suffik mitzvah when it comes to a mitzvah nidaraisa? So that's a dvarisa. So we're holichachar rove, because that he's not a nefil, and therefore we should be mal on Shabbos. Because once you paskin that we're holichachar rove, good. So suffik daraisa luchumra. So this may relate to how do you look at it? Do you look at the mitzvah independent of the isser Shabbos, or do you say, well, it's a suffik isser Shabbos? Shabbos. Forget about Safik Mitzvah. You have a Safik Chil Shabbos over here. So Safik Daraisa Luchumra on that, not a Safik Daraisa Luchumra on the Mitzvah's Mila. So that's a question of exactly how to look at it also when it comes to Pidyon HaBen. Do we view Pidyon HaBen as purely Dine Mamanus? That ain't Olchon Mamanach HaRov. You're going to say, I'm Otsi Mechaver Olav HaRaya on Pidyon HaBen. Or do you view it as a Safik Yisr? Right? They say that Vilna Gaon, I think in Maaser Rav, it says Vilna Gaon used to give 5 slotim to every Kohen that he met just because he was that we don't have Kohanim Yuchasim anymore, and you never know when a Kohen Zichus is good. What do you mean? So it's a suffix. No, clearly within Pidyon HaBen there's also an element of Isravat, there's an element of something beyond just Dine Mamros, that the person is not Padui. But anyway, that's the discussion. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, Bela Hadatanya, that which we say in the Brisa, Suffik Ben Shiva, Suffik Ben Shmona, you have a baby that you don't know if he was born during the 7th or 8th month of pregnancy, ain mechalun alav as a Shabbos. You can't be mechal Shabbos for him because maybe he's a ben shmona and therefore he has a din like a mace and there's no mitzvah in doing his mila. So misafek, you're not going to be mechal Shabbos to give him a bris mila. Amai, why not? Nimalei, meaning according to the svara we're saying right now that every baby you always have a chashash that maybe he's a nefel because he hasn't yet survived 30 days, and yet we still do a mila on Shabbos because miman of shach, if he really is a nefel, then it's just basar amei. And if he's not a nefel, then you're doing the mitzvah. So why don't we say the same by a Safik ben Shiva, Safik ben Shmona, that you should be able to give him a bris mila, and the same miman of shach, im chayu shaper kamayil. If he's a chay, then you have a mitzvah to do the mila. V'imla mechatech basaru, and if not, then you're just stam cutting basar. Why would it be any different with a regular baby and a baby that's a Safik ben Shiva and Safik ben Shmona? So answers the Gemara: Amar Mabrei Ravina Ana v'Rav Nechume Bar Zecharia Targimna. Both I and Rav Nechuma Bar Zecharia answer this kasha that mimalochinami malinalei. We are mal a safek ben shmona lo nitzchal machshirei mila valibit Rabbi Eliezer. When we say that we're not going to be mechal Shabbos for a safek ben shiva, safek ben shmona, it means to do machshirei mila according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that normally you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for machshirei mila. So the Tana is telling us that's only if you know that the baby had 9 months of pregnancy. But a suffix, whether it was a ben shmona, it could be that there's no mitzvah mila at all. So it turns out you're being mechal Shabbos by making the pachamim and the barzel and the sakin and all of that. So that's what we're saying, that you're not going to be mechal Shabbos. So now the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Kitanoi. Maybe this is in fact a machlokas tanoim. That which Ravad Barava says, that a nefel is considered like a mace, maybe that's really machlokas tanoim. Because we have a braisa that darshens the pasuk that speaks about tumas nevelu. behema. The pasuk says, "V'chiyamos min behema asher hilachem liachla." That if an animal that otherwise would have been an animal that you would have eaten, that you would have shechted and eaten, but the animal just drops dead. So then, if you nogeh ben nevlasi yitma, if you touch the nevela, you become tame. So we darshan the word liachla, that it means lahavi ben shmona, that includes a vlad of a behema that's born after 8 months of pregnancy. She'ein shchitaso metaharto, that even doing a shchita on such an animal will not be metaharit mitumas nevela, because it never would have lived anyway, and therefore even while it was alive and breathing, it was considered like it's dead. So the shchita is not going to be metaharit; it's dino kemes. It has a din like a dead animal. So even by doing a shchita, it's going to be nevela. Normally, if you do a shchita, so that's metaharit mitumas nevela. The animal is not going to be nevela anymore. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, shchitasu metaharto. They disagree and they say no. Doing a shchita is going to take away the status of nevela. So what are they arguing about? My love, welcome if we to Mar Sover Chayhu, Umar Sover Mesu. It must be the Rebbe of Blazer all that a Ben Shmona is a Chay, and therefore the Shkita is Mitahirit, whereas the Tanakamas holds that it's a Mace, and therefore the Shkita is not going to be Mitahir. So Amar Rabbi Ihachi says, no, if that was the Machlokas Tanoim, whether a Ben Shmona is Dino Kechai or a Ben Shmona is Dino Kemes, then Admifki Lidin Tumma Vitara, why would they only have the Machlokas about Tumas Nevela, whether you shecht it when it loses Tumas Nevela? They should argue about achila itself. The Tana that says that a ben shmona is dino kachai should hold that if you shecht it, you can now eat it. Forget about its tumah status. It's kosher meat. And the Tana that says that a ben shmona is dino kemes should hold that the shechita is not matirin and you're not allowed to eat it. That should have been the real issue over here. That's the more pressing issue. Ela dukuli alma. So it must be that everybody holds mesu. That no, it's mace and therefore you cannot eat it, even when you shecht it. The why are they arguing about tumah? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon Savri, Kitrefa. Not every time you have an animal that was not kosher to eat. And you shecht it, does it have tumas nevela? I mean, the halacha is sometimes shchita, even if it's not matir the animal to be eaten, could still take away tumas nevela. After all, that's what happens with the trefa. Trefa lav aval gav de mesihi. A trefa is not going to live. It has some sort of disease that it's not going to live. But shchitasa mitaharata, the shchita is mitarit from tumas nevela. I mean, if you have an animal that has a hole in its lung, and you only discover that normally after you shecht the animal, right? But that animal is not in the vela. It went through a kashra shchita, so the shchita is mitayer midin nevela, even though it was never destined to survive. So Chanami over here also, Ben Shmona, an animal that went through only 8 months of being in utero, Loshna, it shouldn't be any different than a trefa. So if you shecht it, it should no longer have status of nevela. The Rabbanan say, no, lo dami le trefa. This isn't at all like a trefa. Trefa is a la shasa kosher. When a trefa was born, it wasn't a trefa. So there was a time where it was a regular animal that was destined to be mutar al yidei shchita. So the fact that it then got sick, okay, but the shchita is still going to be mitar midei nevela. But when a ben shmona never had a moment that it was in this world where it could have been mutar al yidei shchita, and therefore the shchita is not even going to work to be mitar midei nevela. So says Mar, is that true? Every trefa had a shasa kosher? V'chitem, a trefa mi bet and ma'ika le'meimar? What about a trefa mi bet? And what about an animal that was born as a trefa? What would you say then? How would you respond to that? Says Mar, hasam yesh b'mina shchita. At least a behema that went full term, even if it was born as a trefa, but other behemos that went full term are eligible for a shchita that will work for it. So therefore, the shchita should at least work to be mitar midei nevela. But hacha in b'mina shchita, a behema that never even went full term pregnancy, there is no such thing as having shchita b'matarit, so therefore it's not going to work even to be mitar midei nevela. But bottom line is, this machlokas, whether the shchita is mitar midei nevela of a behema that was not kalalo chadashav, is not necessarily machlokas whether it's kemes or kechai. It could be just a machlokas whether it has a din of a trefa or a din similar to a trefa, that it's not going to be matirit but that it's not going to be matirid, but it's for sure not going to be matir ba'achila. So because it's everyone might agree that it's dino kemes. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to discuss Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We had Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who said that our regular stam behema, you always have to be choshesh that the behema is a nefel. Right, you need to wait until the behema is eight days old before you can shecht it. Otherwise, you always have to be choshesh that it's a nefel. So you buy a lose. Says the Gemara, wait a second. Me pligi Rabbanan leider Rabbi Shimon Gamliel alone. Is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel a universally agreed upon opinion, or is there someone that disagrees with him? Simtim Salomar Pliki, and if there is someone that disagrees with him, then we have to figure out halacha kamosa or ain't halacha kamosa. So Gemara sets the agenda. Two questions. Does anyone disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? And if someone does, do we paskal like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel or like those who disagree? Three rayas. Raya number one, Tashma, says Gemara will answer the suffix based on a braisa. Egel shenola b'yom tov. You have a calf that's born on Yom Tov, shochtin also b'yom tov. You could check there on Yom Tov, you don't have to worry that maybe it's an Eiffel. That's clearly against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, you got to wait 8 days to know that it's not an Eiffel. And over here you see a braisa that tells us that you can check there on Yom Tov, you don't have to worry it's an Eiffel. And so Gemara hacham ha'eskinan dekim le'begavei shekal lo chadashav. No, that braisa is talking about where you shecht an egel that you know went to full term, and therefore you don't have to be choshesh that it's a nefil, you're allowed to shecht them in Yom Tov. But if you don't know that it's called lo chadashav, it could be that you do have to be choshesh that it's a nefil. So that certainly does not tell us that there's someone that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Anyway, that raya lechora only would have answered one of our two questions. Right? We had two questions. Is there anyone that disagrees? And how do we paskin? So that raya only would have answered, is there anyone that disagrees? But that doesn't even answer that. It could be that that's talking about shekal lo chadashav. Raya number two, tashma. A braisa relating to machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you're allowed to check for mumin on a bechor that's born before Yom Tov on Yom Tov. Can that be an activity on Yom Tov to look for a mum on a bechor? Because you need to be kaveya whether the mum is a mum kavua, which would allow the bechor to be eaten, or it's a mum over, where the bechor would still have kedusha, and you would not be allowed to eat the bechor. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not allowed to check, because up until now the bechor was asr ba'achila, so when the chacham is matirit, it's like he's being misaking it. Or it's at least like he's being done din. It's like he's being he's doing din on Yom Tov. And the Chumra goes there that you're not allowed to do din on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Shimon knows that you're not allowed to be mevaker mumin in a bechor on Yom Tov. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that you are allowed to. So v'shavin, but everybody agrees shemnolad hu umumo imo, that if the dayanim see that the animal was born with the mum, then they're allowed to be bodek if it's a mum kavua to be matir b'achila. Why? Shezemin amuchan. Because right away, as soon as it was born, it already had a mum. So it was roi l'achila. So since it was never asr b'achila in the first place, the dayan that's matirid is not doing a real din. So you see that a bechor is mutar b'achila on the very day that it's born. Meaning we're saying that, oh, it was mutar b'achila right away. So apparently it's not a nefel against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So you see that the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And the Bryce is assuming like the shita of the chachamim. So it says, no, hachanami, shekal lo chadashav. Same reason the first price, it wasn't a good raya. This price is not a good raya either, because it's talking about a case where you know that it was kalal chadashav. Tashma says Gemara, raya number three, and this one's going to work. Dam Rabbi Dam Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that Rabbi Dam Shmuel felt the need to tell us that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that a regular vlad, that you don't know if it's kalal chadashav, you have to be choshesh it's a nefel. So halacha mechal de pligi. The very fact that you can say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel makes it sound like someone disagrees with him. So shema mina. So that in fact is a raya that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and with that we answer both of the questions we started with. We wanted to know, is there anyone that disagrees? And how do we paskin? So by saying halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you're answering both. You're telling us that yes, there's someone who disagrees, but afal pikein, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Tosfos raises the question that in the Tosefta's Mefurash, that the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so why didn't the Gemara just bring this to the Tosefta to be poshet this suffix? It's a Mefurash of Tosefta like that. So Tos brings a right from here that Rav Shmuel Liel and the Chacham must argue about two separate things. Number one, they argue about a Ben Shmona, that according to the Chacham, it's a Vadei Nefel, even if it survives 30 days. And Rav Shmuel Liel says that no, if you see that it's fully developed and it survives 30 days, then it's not a Nefel. And then the second Machlokas is about a Stam Vlad, where you don't know if it's Kalul Chadashav, where the Chacham say it's not a Nefel because Rov Vlados, most of Vlados are not Nefels. And Rav Shmuel Liel says that if it doesn't survive 30 days, or it has not yet survived 30 days, then it's a Suffolk Nefel. So according to that, you understand that why the Gemara is not poshet the Suffolk from the Tosefta, because the Tosefta was talking about a Vade Ben Shmona. The Suffolk of the Gemara was, to the Rabbanan, this is with Rav Shmuel Liel about Stam Vlados, about the second Machlokas. But from Shmuel, you see clearly that they argue even about Stam Vlados, because Shmuel says, Halacha Rav Shmuel Liel. If Shmuel was talking about a Vade Ben Shmona, Shmuel should have said, Halacha Karebi, who holds that if it's not developed, it's no longer a Nefel. Uk Rav Shmuel Liel, who then adds to Rebbe and requires that not only do you need it to be developed with its fingernails and hair and everything, but you also need 30 days. And if Shmuel says, Stam, Halach Rav Shmuel Liel, it must be that he's talking about that other machlokes that we're discussing right now. And that's what Tosa says, that's why we bring a raya from Amr Rebbe Dimar Shmuel, rather than bring a raya from Ferish Tosefta, because the Tosefta was in fact talking about a different machlokes. Okay, says the Gemara now, Amr Abaye, Nafal Menagak. So the Gemara is going to discuss this machlokas from Shmuel Liel and the Chavin. Let's say a Vlad falls off of a roof and dies, meaning some terrible accident happens, something that had nothing to do with any illness or any deformity or any birth defect. No, it's just it's a terrible accident that happened. Oh, a chalo ari, or it was mauled by a lion. Divrei akol chayhu. Everyone agrees that that it was becheskas chay before it died, and since because there was nothing wrong health wise that we were able to discern, and most of the time a Vlad is not a Nefel. So if the father predeceases that baby and he is the only baby, that Vlad will pater his mother from Yibum Bechalitza. And if it's a behema, not a human, if it happens to a behema, if you shecht it within 8 days from when it's born, it's mutar ba'achila. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas is shepihek v'meis, that right after it's born, it yawns or something and then it dies. That it has this little bit of life that just goes out of it. So Mar Savar Chayu, the Tana that disagrees with Rav Shmuel Liel, holds that it's becheskas chay before it died. Umar Savar Rav Shmuel Liel, it's meisu, that it's a meis. L'may nafkamina, liftor min ha'yibum. And the nafkamina is, will such a baby pater the mother from yibum if the father dies before the baby and there are no other children? According to the Chum, the mother's pater from yibum, because at the time the father died there was a living child, and according to Rav Shmuel Liel, the mother's going to be chayv in yibum, because at the time the father died, the child was already a mace anyway. So ask the Gemara Rabbi, how can you say that Nafal Menagago Achalo Ari Divrei Kol Chayu, that if the baby falls off of a roof or gets mauled by a lion, that everyone agrees that it's Becheskas Chay, Varav Papa, Rav Hunan Bar Rav Shua, Ikalal Bei Berei, to Ravidi Bar Avin? They once went to the house of Ravidi Bar Avin's son, Va'avadu Igla Tilta B'Yimama D'Shiva, and they prepared a delicious piece of veal on the seventh day of the Egel's life. They shechted this Igla Tilta. Igla Tilta is the finest, choicest type of cow, and they prepared it for it for him on the seventh day after it was born. And Rav Papa and Rav Huna said, if you just would have waited till nighttime before shechting it, then we would have eaten from it, because then we would say, as Rashi points out, miktsas hayom kekulo, and that's already yom hashmini, and therefore we would eat from it, because then it would be ra'oi to eat from. But hashta, but now that you shechted it on yom hashvi'i, we can't eat from it, because Allah is Rav Shmuel Liel, that a Stam Vlad, we always have to be choshish as a Nefel. So don't you see that Rav Shmuel Liel is choshish for a Nefel, even if it wasn't some natural thing that happened to the animal, or that, you know, even in a case that's akin to Nafal Menagag or Achalo Ari. When you shecht an animal, it's not just a natural thing that happens to the animal. They shechted it, they killed it. So that should be like Nafal Menagag. So you see that Rav Shmuel Liel is choshish that the baby is a Nefel. even when something happens to it, even when a terrible accident happens. Now the truth is, if it's piyek v'meis, everyone agrees that it's a mace. It didn't have any life to it. Ki pligi b'nafal menagag v'achalo ari. The machlokas is in a case where it was a nafal menagag or was mauled by a lion. That's where mar savar mesu, mar savar chayhu. That's where you have a machlokas that since it didn't survive 30 days, the one shita is that it's a mace, and the tana that's cholik holds that it's a chay. There is a discussion. What if it was neither Nafal Menagag or it was Pihek? What if a baby looked healthy and then all of a sudden it got sick and then it died as a result of illness? Do you assume in that case that it's a Nafal or not? So that's Machlokas, Balamar and the Ramban. The Balamar holds that a baby that got sick and dies is considered as if he was mauled by a lion. It's something external. An illness, a virus, something that attacks from the outside is considered external to the baby's basic status as a Ben Kayama. Whereas the Ramban disagrees, says that if it dies, if it gets sick and dies, it has a din as if it's piheik. So that's an interesting question of how do you mean l'chaora. One could have argued it depends on the illness, right? Is it an illness that was caught from something else, or is it an illness that develops? Meaning, if lo aleinu, a person has cancer or something, that's not something that they caught from somewhere else. That's something within the health of the system of the baby itself. Whereas unless it was, from the smoke or something like that. But if it's a virus that attacks, one could have made such a distinction. But the Rishonim do not make such a distinction. They just talk about illness in general. Do we view that as something that's external, or do we view that as something that's inherent in the health of the baby? So now the Gemara brings a couple of stories relating to this issue. Bereder of Dimi Bar Yosef, the son of Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, had a baby that was born to him, but go tossin yom and shachit, and it died, Rachman al son, within 30 days of being born. Yosef kamasabel lave, and he was sitting shiva for it, he was being masabel. Somle avua, tzavrunisa kabas lamechal. Why, you want to eat from the foods that people bring to a beis avel? I mean, why are you sitting shiva? You need to experience all the delicious foods that people bring to a beis avel, which seems like a very insensitive way to speak to someone who just lost a baby. Tosa says that it's tzudnisa, a lashon of tzeda, mazonos, but still, same point. So Amalei, Kimli Bei Shekol Lo Chadashev. He says, no, I know that this was Kol Lo Chadashev, that it was a full-term pregnancy, and therefore you don't have the suffix nefil, and that's why I'm being misabil. Ravashi Yikla Bei Rav Kana. Ravashi once went to Rav Kana's house, Itra Bei Milsa, and also Rav Kana's son died, Begotas and Yomen, within 30 days of being born. So Chazi, the Yosef, come misabil alay. So Ravashi saw that Rav Kana was sitting Shiva, so Amalei, he said, Lo Savalei Ma'al, Lo Hadam Rav Yudam Shmuel, Halach Rav Shum Gamliel. Don't you know that we Paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that by Stam we assume that it has a din of a Nefel? Amalei, Kimli Begavesh, Kol Lo Chadashav. Same answer. No, I know about this baby that was Kol Lo Chadashav. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses a baby that dies within 30 days, whether it patters the mother from Yibum. Going back to that discussion. See, Itmar, so they taught the woman whose husband dies, and there's a baby that survives for after the husband dies. But then Meis Bitok Shloshim, the baby dies within 30 days of being born. Va'amda v'niska. And even though the father has brothers, the woman goes and accepts kiddushin from someone else because she thought that this ben patters her from yibum. So Ravina Mishmei de Rava. Ravina says the name Rava im Eishes Yisrael. If she was niskadesh, she was niskadish to Yisrael, who's allowed to marry a chalutza. So chalatas, let her do chalitza to one of the brothers, because it could be that we pass on the Moshe Liel that the baby has a din of a nefel, does not patter the mother from yibum v'chalitza. So let her do chalitza, and then she'll be able to stay married to the guy that she got married to. But imeshes koheni. But if she accepted kiddushin from a kohen, and so a kohen is aser with on a grusha or a chalutza. We're used to the halach of a kohen aser begrusha, but the halach is a kohen is aser bechalutza as well. We just don't have so many chalutzos. It doesn't happen that often. But if she's an imeshes kohen, eino chalutzes, then you can't do chalitza because it's going to aser to the kohen. So then you have to rely on the sheet of the chachamim that the baby is not a nefel, and you assume not like Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Rav Shabi Mishmei Derava Amar Achazu V'Achazu Chaletzas. No, whether it's an Esh Yisrael, whether it's an Esh Kohen, you do Chalitza, but she took Yidushim from Kohen. Good, so she'll get divorced, but she shouldn't have done that. We pass on Rav Shmuel Gamliel, the baby's a nefel, and therefore she can't get married to this Kohen. So I'm later reading Rav Shavia Bo'orcha Amar Rav Hachi. You should know that in the evening Rava said this, but Litzafa the next morning Hadarbe, he changed his mind and he said that she should not do chalitza and just stay married and rely on the Rabbanan. So Amalei Shrisua, he says, you were matir her to stay married to a Kohen, pattering her from chalitza. Ye Rava de Tishru Tarba. It should be the will of Hashem that you should start being matir chelev, meaning something that's an obvious iser. You should go and be matir an obvious iser because you're so wrong about this. By being matir, you are in fact being matir that which is an obvious iser. So I saw the Achron in the Sefer Matzachain. He raises the question: why? Why would you say that? Why would you daven that a person should be matir isurim? That's a terrible thing to wish. So then he explains that Rav Shravi was telling Ravina that because you were matir this, and people are going to be somech on you because you're gedolei adar, you respected talmidei chachamim, so people are going to follow this psak. So my tefila now is that you should make a mistake in everything, so everyone should then think that you're not gedolei adar, that you don't know what you're talking about in halacha, and then they won't come to rely on this erroneous psak because this whole thing was a big mistake. Okay, says Gemara Vayter now. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, he said Rabbi Yehuda allows being malin and androgynous on Shabbos. So I'm Rav Shizvi. Even though Rabbi Yehuda allows being mal an androgynous on Shabbos, he doesn't say that an androgynous has a din of a zachar for every halacha. Shema to Omer came because if you really have a din of a zachar, ba'arachin ye'arech, then when it comes to the parsha of arachin, you should do there should be an erech for an androgynous. And we know that that's not true. Says Gemara, we know the me'arech. How do we know that that's not true? Detanya, because there's a brisa that tells us by the parsha of arachin, it says hazachar. It says va'ya erkecha haz. Zachar. From the extra hey, we darshan velo tumtum the androgynous. That ha zachar, it needs to be a vadei zachar, but not a tumtum, where you can't tell whether it's a zachar in a cave, it's covered up, nor an androgynous that is simanim of both. Yach lo yehe be'erich ish. So I might think that's just telling me that it's not a zachar, avli yehe be'erich isha, but it still has an erich as an isha. So Talmud Lomar, ha zachar, that's why the pasuk says ha zachar, and then it says, v'im nikevahi. So the extra word v'im, zachar vadai nikeva vadois, v'lo tumtum vandroganus. That it needs to be a vadai zachar, it needs to be a vadai nikeva, and not tumtum vandroganus. So says the Gemara, ustam sifra, and we know that ustam brisa in Torah's Kohanim, that doesn't say who it is, Rabbi Yehuda, follows the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, so it must be Rabbi Yehuda holds that an androgynous is not a zachar vadai, so even though Rabbi Yehuda came along in our Mishnah and told us that you do a milah on an androgynous on Shabbos, so it sounds like an androgynous has a din of a zachar vadai. No, it's dafka by milah that we have such a din, but when it comes to arachin, we do not assume that he has a din of a zachar vadai. Amrav Nachmar Yitzchak Afan Anami Tanina. I have another Mishnah where we see that clearly an androgynous is not treated like a zachar vadai. Why? Because it says Hakol Ksherim Lakadesh. There's a Mishnah Maseches Parah. Lakadesh over here means to be Mekadesh the Mechatas by putting the Efer Parah Aduma into the waters to be Mekadesh the Mechatas. So everyone is kosher to do that. Chut Mecherishayt V'Katan, and Rabbi Yehuda Makshir V'Katan Uposel B'Yishav Androgynous. Rabbi Yehuda says that a katan is allowed to do it, but a woman is not allowed to do it, and an androgynous is not allowed to do it. The Gemara in Yuma elaborates in Daf Mem Gimel that it says by Kiddush Mechatas V'Nosan Lav Mayim Chayim, and Rabbi Yehuda Darshan's V'Nosan V'Lo V'Nosna. So you see that Nisha's Psula to be Mekadish Mechatas, and male and androgynous is also possible because he's at least a Suffolk Isha. That's how Rashi and Tosos point out that's the sugya. The Tosos on Kuflam Vavam Beis, however, says it's a different limud, that the psul of an androgynous is derived from the Parsha Sarachim, that if he's possible to do Arachim, so Meili must be possible about this as well. Maybe Nafkamina is about that, we'll see if we have time. So Shema Mina, so bottom line is, you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, about Kiddush Mechatos and Androgynous is also not a Vadei Zachar. So Maishna Mila, so why is it Dafka by Mila that Rabbi Yehuda says that you're going to be Malin Androgynous on Shabbos? Mishum Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, Himalachem Kol Zachar. So the word Kol is an extra reboy in the Pasuk that tells me that an Androgynous is also included. When we are Malin Androgynous, the Rambam writes in the third parak of Hilchos Mila, Halachavav, that you do not recite a bracha on the Mila of an Androgynous on a weekday, because it's a Suffolk Zachar. That's the Rambam Shita, that he has that an Androgynous has a din of a Suffolk, and since he has a din of a Suffolk, even though you do a Mila, not in Shabbos, you do a Mila during the week, you would not recite a bracha on the Mila. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says if it's a Suffolk, you're Mavarich. They seem to be conceptually disagreeing about what we do when you have a din of Suffolk Daraisa Luchumra as far as the bracha is concerned. Do we say Suffolk Brachas Lahakel, or do we say no? Once there's a Suffolk Brachas Lahakel is when you have a Suffolk just about saying a bracha. But when you have a Suffolk about a mitzvah, so Suffolk Daraisa Luchumra tells you that you have a chiv to do that mitzvah. So once I have a chiv, do that mitzvah. We did Suffolk Daraisa Luchumra. Now I have a vaday chiv bracha because I have a vaday chiv mitzvah. It may depend on whether Suffolk Daraisa Luchumra is a din Daraisa or itself is only a din Darabanan. There is a machlokas rishonim by a mila of someone who's nolad mo'el. That's a suffik erla kavusha. That the Rif paskins that you do not recite a bracha on such a mila, like the Rambam, that you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that's only a suffik whether you're chayiv in it or not. And the Ran quotes that Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees and says that you do make a bracha on any mitzvah that you're chayiv when there's a suffik that you're only chayiv mi suffik to do the mitzvah, but you would still recite a bracha on it. So the Torah in Yerdes and Reish Samachay paskins that according to Shitas HaTosfos, that an androgynous generally has a din of a zachar, b'kala terukula, then vada you would be mevarich on the mila of an androgynous. Okay, we'll stop there. But Hashem will pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.